Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Andy. And before we get started with today's episode, I wanted to let you know about RebateJet.com. What is RebateJet? Well, it's a piece of software that I created that will help Amazon sellers get their products noticed. You can launch with promo codes, rebates. Not only that, but you can list your product for free on the RebateJet third-party marketplace. You don't pay a single penny unless you make a sale. And when you do, it's only a $1 flat fee per product. Try it today, RebateJet.com.
Welcome to the Seller Roundtable e-commerce coaching and business strategies with Andy Arnott and Amy Wees.
Hey everybody, how's it going? I am here with my friend Miro and we are going to talk about sourcing from Pakistan. But before we do that, hi Miro, how's it going?
Every day is a beautiful dream.
I love it. Well, you know, you and I have just been keeping in touch like this whole time. We've been social media friends and I have so many awesome social media friends in the e-commerce community. And it's so great because, you know, you learn something from all of them. And so I mentioned something the other day about, I shared a story, a podcast from my friend Robbie about sourcing from Mexico. And you posted on there that you source from Pakistan. And so I was like, oh, Miro, let's talk about it, you know, on a live, because there's so many people that might think that that's an interesting opportunity. So thank you for being here.
No problem.
Do you mind telling everybody a little bit about you and your journey in e-commerce and how we come to be talking today?
Okay, sure. My name is Miro Pasvik. I own a supplement brand. And what happened was I had, like, my background, I used to be a computer guy. I used to have a chain of check cashing stores. So I had a kind of a varied career. So I got into e-commerce originally. Let me kind of tell this rambling story. So one of my big passions is natural health and natural wellness, right? And there's this type of natural health called homeopathy, which I thought was really, really cool. And I always had problems finding quality remedies because what happens was the remedies that you buy in the stores were never really that good. And I had a friend of mine brought some over from India and they were really good. You know, I'm like, this is the good stuff, right? Like, this is the real deal. And I was like looking for another supplier. And one of my friends was a homeopath in Canada. And he's like, I got a supplier from Pakistan that makes these, right? So I sent him a note and they sent me some samples. That's kind of what started this relationship. So it started off as like a hobby for me and it kind of morphed into a business, which is doing okay. And then I went deep into online with Amazon and Shopify and Walmart and it just blew up. So it went from being a hobby to being like some interesting to holy cow, I'm buying food with this stuff. So it's been great.
That's awesome. Yeah. It's so great when a business starts based on something, some necessity in your life or something that you need, because it becomes like your lifestyle and your way to be able to help other people at the same time. I think it's a really great thing. So how long now have you had your supplement brand?
I've had it for almost 12 years. I got into online with it about 6 years ago when I kind of did the transition from like hobby kind of puttering to really trying to make a go of it. So really full time about 6 years.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. So how did you get started sourcing from Pakistan? Like, tell me about that. How did that happen?
Well, it was really interesting because I hadn't done any import export in a long time. Like I did some when I was like in my early 20s and, you know, I'm 50. So it's actually, I'm 51 today. Today's my birthday. So all y'all send
really?
Me a present.
You're here with me on your birthday. Like Absolutely. I feel that's amazing. Thank you. Happy birthday.
Thank you. So what happened was I had found this supplier of these really amazing products, right? And it's so interesting because I had done an import-export. I had no idea what I was doing. And so I ordered my first shipment over. And it's so funny because here's some, you know, you meet somebody over the internet. You send a couple emails back and forth. You have a Skype call. And then you wire them a bunch of money, right? And I don't care who you are. You're thinking, I am never seeing this money again, right? And they're like, yeah, we're doing your labels for you. I'm thinking, sure you are, right? And then like, it's still going on the boat. I go, it's not going on the boat. You know, you don't know what to expect. And I got the stuff in, and what happened was, like, logistically, the level of the packaging, the artwork was very 1970s, right? So one of the things that we did that really blew up our business was just we repackaged the stuff to American standards with, I got like a $10,000 label printer. So we're really like, that's really what turned us around, was repackaging the stuff and rebranding it. But the quality of the product itself is just, it's fantastic. Like anything I need, I'll like, hey, give me this. And they're just like, so it's an amazing relationship with them. A lot of nuts and bolts and stuff. Like what I find very interesting, and again, I'm doing, like I'm bringing the supplements, right? Is the process of importing something isn't as smooth and easy as they make it seem in all the courses. They're like, yeah, you get a customs broker and you just pay them and they handle everything. No, that's not how it is at all. I mean, I'm in supplements. So every time my stuff comes in, I got to go to the FDA. I'm FDA registered, right? I have to give them like a 30-page document, and it's just, and it's like they inspect the stuff. One year I had a shipment.
So you're getting it inspected here in the US then?
What's happening is it's inspected there before it goes out. Then it comes in the US. There's a series of paperwork. And the problem is, like the FDA, like the customs inspectors, these aren't, like you think someone that's inspecting supplements to be like someone that had was a lab work or something else. My last FDA inspector used to be a toll booth operator on the highway, okay? And they made her into an FDA inspector. Like they're just, you have to educate everybody along the way. And it's just, but it's such a journey. Like everything, say the hard part, sending the money overseas, that's the easy part. Getting the stuff through and everything else is the tricky part.
So how did you find this supply? You said, you know, you found this supplier of really great products, but how did you find suppliers, and how do you recommend that other people, if they're looking to source any kind of product from Pakistan, what's the best way to find a supplier?
I found the supplier by just asking people I knew that were in this specific field. Like I was asking other homeopaths, hey, who do you guys use? Who has the best remedies? That kind of stuff. So I got into a little bit of research and word of mouth, and the name of my supplier, just they kept coming up. Like these guys are the top guys. They're one of the biggest guys in Asia. They do a great job. You know, big facility, ISO, like the ISO 9000 registration. That's a good one because that shows they're adhering to international standards, right? And it's funny, when I used to be a computer guy, I used to do ISO audits for people. So I know that it's a big paper chase, but at least it tells you that the people can at least do paperwork and follow instructions, right?
Yeah. So ISO 9000, so asking for certifications.
Right.
And then the other thing is what you said, Miro, that I really love is you said you asked around and you asked other homeopaths, like, hey, who are you using? Where are you getting your remedies? And then this supplier kept coming up, right? The thing is, in ISO 9000, that's a worldwide certification. It's worldwide recognized as a standard, right? So it's a good thing to look for. You should always, for anyone sourcing from anywhere, you should always ask your suppliers what certifications they have. And you should be familiar with the different certifications that are standard in your industry. So that's really, really good. A tip that I have for folks when you're looking for suppliers, something that Miro gave here is to ask around. But if you're wondering where similar products are made, go to the store, pick up the bottle on the shelf, read the back, see where it's manufactured, where it's distributed, you know, start making calls like this. It was manufactured for Prime My Body LLC in Carrollton, Texas, right? But I bet that I could call these guys and say, hey, where is this product made? Where is it actually? This was manufactured for them, but who was it manufactured by? And a lot of packaging will give you information about where something was manufactured, and by who, right? Sometimes it'll say manufactured by for this company. So don't be afraid to go out there and read labels, right? Because you might find where your supplies were made. So how did you go about, were you not nervous about just reaching out to this this random supplier in Pakistan? And how did you go about kind of getting to know them better and vetting your supplier?
Well, what happened is I had made contact with different suppliers of this type, mostly in India. India's got a lot of these kind of guys, right? And the problem I had with the India guys was my experience has just been like, you know, it was very much, I don't see, there's an arrogance about how they approach it with being like, oh, we have the best, we have this, we have that. And it was a lot more about them than it was about me, right? Mm. And these guys I have in Pakistan, they're like, hey, Miro, look, what do you need? How can we package this for you? We have 400 formulas. We have access to 3,000 different products. Which product mix do you want to start with? Like it was more about, okay, how can we be successful together? And it's been really interesting because as I've grown my business, they're like, hey, we are okay with you going to other – like I'm the exclusive agent for North America. But they say, look, anywhere else you want to go in the world, we got your back. You want it shipped. You want it packaged. Whatever you need, because we've developed a good relationship over the last 12 years. There's a lot of trust there, right? And my volume has gone up too. I mean, I started off with, you know, I place a small order every 2 years, right? There was a bigger order every year, right? And now I'm ordering like, you know, 15, 20,000 pounds at a time. Like I'm getting pretty much a full container on a pretty regular basis, right?
And that's something that you mentioned is that, you know, supplier relationships are really important. And when you found a few suppliers in India, you said that there was kind of an arrogance and it was like almost like they didn't want to work with you. Like you had to kind of sell yourself to them. And that's how that was for me in the US, because one of my products is made in the US. And it was very hard to get a supplier in the US. You really have to like get them on your team, you know, and it's very, because there's only so much room on the factory floor, right? But I always tell people that even when you're dealing with China or any supplier anywhere, like those relationships are so important. Someone posted in one of the groups this morning, they said, you know, when should I negotiate an MOQ? Should it be before I get a sample or after? And I said, well, first of all, you don't want to negotiate an MOQ. Like what supplier wants to work with someone that, you know, how little can I order from you, right? And it should never be about that. But then the second thing is like, take the time to have a conversation, like reach out before you ask for samples, reach out and have a conversation so that you know that this is a good partner for you, that they're actually going to want to work with you. Because how horrible would it be to get a sample and yeah, it's a great sample, but this is a terrible partner, you know? So I love that you mentioned like, I reached out to these guys and it just was good vibes from the very beginning. It was a good partnership. Now, as far as other products, like, do you know anything about other products that are made in Pakistan?
I know Pakistan has a very strong textile market. I know they do huge business in towels, sheets. I also know that they do a lot of leather goods. They do sporting equipment, soccer balls, that kind of stuff. Like they have a good manufacturing base. One of the things I can talk about too is you know, we talk about pricing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like when my guys came on, when I first started working with them, their pricing was really low, right? Because like, let's be honest, like any kind of supplement stuff, there's generally room in there, but my pricing is really low. And at the same time, like I pay attention to stuff. I know that the Pakistani currency has dropped by 30-40% against the US dollar over the last 5 years, right? I've not asked for a decrease in the price, and they haven't, you know, the guy kind of mentions, he goes, you're going to squeeze on price. I'm not going to squeeze you guys on price. The price I'm paying for my products is a fair price. I'm getting a top tier product. I get what I want, how I want it. I'm okay paying the price because, to be honest with you, like my material cost is incidental to my packaging and everything else, right? So I'm okay paying the price because it's a fair price and still leaves me a lot of room on the table, right? Like I wrote a rant a few months ago and put it on Facebook. I don't know if you saw it or not. Basically saying, hey, you know what? Be a good customer. You know, don't sit there and squeeze the crap out of every single deal where the guy's like, why should we do this? We're not gonna make any money on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's gotta go both ways. So you want a good supplier, but you also want to be a good customer.
Yeah, it needs to be good for them. I'm always reminding my suppliers, you know, like, hey, I do need this price. Like, this is my target price. But at the same time, like, I need to make money, but I also want you to make money. I need both of us to be happy in this situation, right? And I need our customers to be happy, right? So how can we work together? Like, let's figure it out. If this price doesn't work for you at this level of this product, is there anything we can do? Like, can we change out a material and still keep the same quality? Let's work together and figure it out, you know, because I agree. It has to be a situation where everybody's making money and because otherwise who's going to want to work for you?
Well, it's like I had an episode a few weeks ago. I use a small contract warehouse and it's a small operation. They have like 4 or 5 employees, right? They do my fulfillment for me. And I introduced a new task for them where they're sending some of my inventory to Amazon or Walmart for me. And the guy's like, well, we'll just bill you, you know, an hourly rate. Thank you, Tim. Bill you an hourly rate for this, whatever else, right? And I'm like, you're underbilling me. He goes, what? I said, you are underbilling me for this service. He goes, well, you're charging me by the hour, but that hourly rate you're charging me, you're not including your overhead, your air conditioning, electricity and stuff. I said, you got to charge me more and let's do it on a per piece basis. And I'm not doing that because, oh, I'm a sweet guy and I'm all kumbaya. I'm like, I want these guys, when I pick up a phone call, they're eager to talk to me. Hey, Miro, what can we do for you? Right?
Right. Yeah. You want it to be a true partnership.
I do. Like, what happened is our operations really grown and we don't have a forklift. We don't have a warehouse. So we used to get shipments into our parking lot. Okay. They drop off 50 pallets. Then we would unload 50 pallets by hand into our office facility. Then we have to break up all the pallets. It was like a day project where there was like 10 of us out there just killing ourselves, right? So I dumped this job onto my warehouse. And now they receive it because they have a warehouse. They pick up with a forklift, put it on the shelf. They charged me $200. And it was like, it saved me like a day of hell of just having crap scattered everywhere and making a mess.
Right.
And
right.
That kind of stuff. So absolutely build the relationships. Be nice. Not being nice because, oh, kumbaya, we love everybody. Hey, it's good business.
Yes, exactly. I love that. Partnerships are so important. You want to be there for the long run. So what about finding these suppliers? So you mentioned a lot of different great products from Pakistan, textiles, stuff like that. Tori asked, do they have a trade show? Is there a supplier database that you know of? Ali mentioned that... I'm guessing, Ali, you may be from Pakistan, that there's a couple of trade shows, but nothing substantial happened lately because of, obviously, COVID. Nobody's been going to trade shows, and it's really hard to throw a trade show digitally in some countries. So do you know of any supplier databases or anything?
My suggestion would be, it sounds kind of goofy, like in the US, the Chamber of Commerce is really just like a, sometimes they're even for profit. They're basically just loose organizations of business sources, right? But over there, the trade organizations, they're an important thing. Like they're really, like it's a very prestigious thing to be members of these communities. So I would say go after the trade associations in Pakistan and look through their list and also, you know, find out what you can. A favorite comment I have is, hey, look, the internet, it's not just for dirty pictures anymore. Okay. You can look up other stuff, right? And my suppliers did not have a slick website, but I'm doing the math. Like they've been in business for 50 years. Mm-hmm. You know, they had a really good reputation, a lot of distribution. Thinking these guys are not focusing on their web presence. They're focusing on building products. So if you see somebody that's running, like, you know, if you look somebody up and their website looks like it was last updated in like, you know, 92, don't run away from that. Cause that tells you that these guys may not be focusing on their web presence. And if they were, maybe they wouldn't need you.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So in this case, you know, one of my little hacks, whenever I get messages from people on LinkedIn, you know, hawking their services, as I say, send me your website and I'll judge you based on that. And then we'll be in touch if I'm interested. And that usually gets rid of 90% of them. Right. But in this case, I think you're right. You know, even really good manufacturers that I found in China, they don't necessarily have great websites. And that's okay, because if I can get on the phone with them, get on even a video chat and have them show me around and have a good relationship and a good conversation. Like you said, if they've been in business for 50 years and they're really good at what they do, they're going to be a good partner for you, hopefully. So that's really a great tip, to look up trade organizations. Don't be afraid to Google it. Don't be afraid to pick up the phone and talk to other, you like you did with homeopathic providers, and say, hey, where are you finding this stuff? Really just reach out and get into your industry and find out what's going on. I love that. That is a really great thing. So the other hack that you gave, Mira, which I thought was gold, is you said that your supplier, they shipped you the product, but it was in really terrible packaging that just wasn't good. So I have a couple of questions for you there. I love that you took advantage of repackaging and rebranding the products here to be more appealing to a US customer base, but also that you didn't let that stop you from sourcing. So my question would be, I know in China, it's kind of a one-stop shop, right? Like we can go to one supplier and they're going to have a printing supplier. They're going to have a packaging supplier, and you can kind of get everything done at one factory. Well, that might not be the case in Pakistan, right? They might not have as much in paper or packaging goods. So was there a reason that you didn't go to your supplier in Pakistan and ask them to now do your packaging? Was it just not available to you, or was it just easier to package in the US?
Well, what happens is because the FDA regulations in supplements changes, like it's so dynamic, right? Something I could have said last month, I can't say anymore, right? You got to make certain claims and diseases, certain things you can and can't do. And what we found was we needed that ability to adapt to the market. Like, let me give you an example. We had a product for teething, for babies' teething products, right? And one of our competitors ended up putting a herb in it that was actually harmful to people, right? So the FDA came down like a giant hammer and said, you know, you can't have any more teething products, right? They actually took my teething products out of my shipment and they put it to a landfill, and they had a guy in a hazmat suit on a bulldozer run it over, okay? Like, this is kind of what we deal with. It's really crazy. And,
oh, my gosh.
So that product now is kind of creeping out a little bit, but now they're calling it oral pain. It's the same product, same formulation, but now it's got a different name. So we have to have that ability to really, you know, change our packaging on the fly and what we do. And having that in-house is very good. Like, it's kind of funny because I'm doing the packaging here, we've created a whole white label business, and we're actually a wholesale supplier to other people that want to do supplements, both for humans and animals. And some of our animal people are just crushing it. I got one lady's doing like over $1 million a year in her second year.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. So what we did kind of as a starting point to improve our product's appeal and packaging has kind of become a safeguard for the business. We're able to pivot more quickly, and it's created a whole new business line for us. We're acting as a wholesale supplier. So what you think is kind of a negative at first turns out to be a positive.
Because now you're able to white label your products to others.
Yep.
And you're able to create additional streams of income for your business, which is so cool. And you've essentially become a supplier. So,
exactly.
I mean, that is an incredible opportunity and something for all of us to think about. Think about all the different ways that you can source from many different places. And think about, you know, there's lots of printing capability right here in the US. There's lots of packaging capability. There's no reason, or wherever you're from, there's no reason not to take advantage of that. Now, what about infrastructure? I know, you know, something that I learned about India is that the infrastructure is nothing like it is in China, right? Where when your products leave the factory in China, you can expect them to get to the nearby port pretty quickly with minimal interruption. Well, in India, they're having to drive quite a way over like dirt roads, and you never know, something could get broken, something could get, you know, put in the, is it like that in Pakistan as well? It's a very mountainous region. It's maybe the roadways aren't as good. Is that a concern or something that people should be aware of when sourcing from Pakistan?
Actually, the trends has actually been better for me than a lot of people in China, because we haven't had the same kind of, like when they're doing the added extra tariffs on China didn't affect me at all. They have this big clog at the West Coast ports right now where all the ports are shut down, all the boats are sitting in the ocean waiting. Doesn't affect us because we're able to my stuff comes in through New York, comes on the East Coast. It really has been a problem. Something a lot of people don't realize, like the biggest misconception of Pakistan is that some little dirt road country, and they have a lot of like the fringes, it's near Afghanistan and stuff. But the actual, like the capital and the big cities, like 80% of our pharmaceutical drugs are made in Pakistan. Like these guys have a very educated workforce, very high-end stuff. They've got infrastructure in place. Like my stuff gets on the truck, goes on the truck from Lahore, the capital. It goes to, I can't remember the name of the port city. They put it in a queue. It goes on a boat. You know, the boat makes like 20 stops along the way. And I'm watching the boat. I don't know if anybody else, do you guys do this? Is you get the name of the ship and you watch the ship on the little map and where it goes. Do you guys do that? That is so much fun.
No, I've never done that before. No, it sounds like fun.
If you look up the name of the ship, there's these websites that actually track the ship for you, right? So sometimes when I'm out of stock, I'll the ship up. I'm like, why is the ship stopped? Dude, come on, get
oh, going. Man. Oh no, I don't know that I need that in my life right now. Like I shipped something from China January 20th, I think it left, and I'm still waiting.
Is the ship.
It's probably like sitting in port for a month now, you know, because there's so many delays. So speaking of that, because I want to ask you about duties and stuff, because, we had this comment here from Aditya that says, when we source from outside, it just becomes too expensive. I'm guessing you're sourcing from Pakistan. With the customs duty on top of what we already have, the Amazon referral fee, closing fee, shipping and packing fee. Yep, that makes sense. And then Ali says, small home-based industries are pretty good at providing limited quantities, including handicrafts. So you can source small quantities, which is another benefit of sourcing from countries like Pakistan and the like, right? Because you can source small things. So definitely check those out depending on what it is that you're sourcing. So the question I have for you is, you mentioned in your post, and this was like made my ears perk up. I was like, "Ooh, wait a minute." You said you don't pay the kind of tariffs that we pay coming from China, the 25% tariffs. So talk to us about that. Like, how do you, first of all, do you just contact any old freight forwarder? What about inspections and quality control? Let's talk through inspections, quality control, and then let's talk through some importing and import duties and stuff. So maybe we start with quality control because that's like the next step in the process, right? So normally before my products leave, I leave the country, leave the factory, I get them inspected to, you know, AQL standards. So what do you do, Miro? How do you get your stuff inspected and how do you find inspectors in places like Pakistan?
Mostly, I think positive. Because Pakistan has a very mature pharmaceutical industry, that type of manufacturing is very closely regulated within Pakistan. They have good manufacturing practices, and the government has a very strong interest in making sure that everything is, you know, safe and proper as it should be, right? So inspection isn't really a thing that I do. I just don't feel it's necessary, right? I've got a good trust with my supplier, and so far everything's just been like I've never. I think out of like, I'm going to say millions of units, I've had maybe one or two where the seal was broken in transport. Like it really has been, the quality has just been spectacular, right? So I haven't worried about quality. The next thing is the tariffs. Because of the political situation, the U.S. has a lot of presence militarily in Pakistan, right? So I guess in order to butter up the government, they provide like a preferred trade status to it. So depending on what you're bringing in, generally the tariffs are either nothing or they're very nominal. We used to be in a different category, and my tariffs would be like maybe $1,000 on a $40,000 order, and now I think they're down to a couple hundred bucks. It's incidental to the cost of the product.
Thanks for tuning in to part one of this episode. Join us every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for live Q&A and bonus content after the recording at sellerroundtable.com. Sponsored by the ultimate software tool for Amazon sales and growth, SellerSEO.com and AmazingAtHome.com.